Since he's stepped out for a minute, I'm going to tell you a few of the things that happened, and then he'll tell you some more, and I think Jeff and Dave both have some things. There were so many healings and deliverances. It was just amazing. I'd gone to the back to go to the restroom and straighten up all the DVDs and CDs before we were going to start praying, and there was this man sitting on a little walker thing with oxygen. He was out the door, and we were in this big, like, it was a cattle barn kind of thing. It was really nice and clean, but it was very large. And he was back there, and I walked up to him, and I said, well, what is wrong with you? And he said, well, I've got COPD. And I said, well, how long have you had it? And he said, I've had it 6 years. And I said, well, you know, lungs have to do with not with what you're saying and thinking. I said, who are you upset with? And he said, myself. He said, I led a terrible life. And I said, well, all you have to do is repent. God forgives us, you know, 1 John 1:9. So I led him through redemption of not loving himself and in promising God he would love himself. And then he ended up, so I prayed for him. I break the curse. And then I said, take a deep breath. He said, wow, that's really good. And I said, well, then take off that oxygen. So he took it off. I said, take another deep breath. And he takes it. He said, wow. I said, well, you get up and you walk back in there and you don't quit sitting in that thing. And you walk back in there and get strong. So off he went. You know, he just went away. I was like, well, praise God. That's great. Okay. So Thurman finishes and we start our line. And they really weren't the first night. He tells people, if you're going to come tomorrow, don't come, you know, up until the second day. And so there weren't that many prayers the first day, and I can't remember who we prayed for, but I can remember these are, I had to write them down. There were so many. So this man comes up that has cancer. He has stage 4 terminal cancer, and it was in his bones and his lungs. And I said, well, where did it start and how long you had it? He said, well, I've had it 4 years. I said, well, where did it start? And he said, my thyroid. I said, well, thyroid's not loving yourself. And he said, well, I didn't love myself. And I said, well, there you go. So Thurman breaks the curse off of him, and he leads him through repentance, just like what I did to the guy in the back about that he promised God he'd love himself and everything. And so we pray for him, and as we're both praying, the Holy Spirit hits me and lets me know he's totally healed, and he does the same thing to Thurman, and Thurman's telling him, well, you're healed, you know, just gone, you know. It's like, wow, that was quick and easy. Then we had this 8-year-old boy come up, and he's got a little black boy, and he had oxygen on, and his parents had sex before marriage, and it always hits the first barn son always gets hit with something if you have sex before marriage, just almost always. But anyway, he needed a new heart, he needed new kidneys, and he needed new lungs, and he had terrible asthma and allergies. And the wife, she was the only one there, the mother, and so she said, well, you know, we're not equally yoked. He won't read the Bible, barely goes to church with us, this, that. And I said, oh, so then we'll have a miracle here, and then he'll go to church with you, you know. And she's, wow, okay. So we break the curse off the boy because, you know, he's actually conceived out of wedlock, the Deuteronomy 23:2 curse. We break that off of him, you know, command all the evil spirits to leave him. We command brand new heart, lungs, kidneys. You know, he's redeemed from every curse. So we go through that. And when we finished, I said, okay, take a deep breath. He went, wow, that's good. I said, well, then take that oxygen off. And so he takes it off, and I said, take another deep breath. He goes, wow. I said, isn't that great, you know? And so he was totally healed, and he was all happy. So he walks away. Then we had 2 17-year-olds come up that were, we didn't get them together. Oh, you don't want me to hook you up? Okay, all right, I'll just keep talking. I just took over because I figured I might need to fill in the space or something. Anyway, so these two, but we didn't know they were together. We had the boy first, and he was 17, been doing drugs since he was 12. He did, pot. He did alcohol and one other thing, and I can't remember what it was, you know, at this moment. But anyway, he didn't know the Lord. I said, well, how come you're doing this stuff? He said he wanted to get out of the world. You know, I said, well, you know, so I explained to him how, well, y'all don't know the story probably, but these lights came on me at one point in my life, and the Lord showed me that I'm never disconnected from you. I have lights that shoot off my body that I see. I can see them. And when it happened, you know, of course, I cried for like an hour. I didn't quite understand, but he showed me that any time that you do anything that takes you away from him, which is alcohol, drugs, sex, porn, whatever sin you're into, cuts you off from him. I went, oh, so I'm telling this little boy this. And so Thurman says, well, do you know Jesus? And he goes, well, sorta. You know, like, no, not really. So Thurman leads him to Christ, tells him he's a new creature, breaks the curse off of him, commands all the evil spirits out of him. I think he even had some voices. We had a lot of kids with voices. And so he commanded all that off of him, and he was set free, and he walks away. The next little girl comes up, and she's 17 also, and that was her boyfriend. And, yes, they were having sex sometimes. And I'm like, well, you know, you can't be doing that. And she didn't love herself at all. So we led her through repentance, and she was only smoking pot, but, you know, she was just messed up. And she didn't, and we asked her if she knew Jesus, and she said, not really. And so he led her to Christ, broke all the curses, command all the spirits to leave, and she's a new creature, and we tell her who she is in Christ, and we want to let her through repentance of loving herself. And she was set free, so she went away. So the two of them, right, boom, boom, led to Christ. Okay, then we had this 13-year-old come up, and she just crying. She's crying and shaking, and she says she has voices speaking to her, and one side says yes, and one side says no. And so I said, how long has this been going on? And she said, 7 years. The mother was standing over there, and I said, what happened 7 years ago? She said, we moved to Michigan. So when they moved to Michigan, she started getting bullied at school. And so she was in constant fear and anxiety and did nothing but cry all the time. She was a little bitty skinny thing. And so she didn't love herself. So again, we led her through repentance for not loving herself. He cast out all the spirits, and broke the curses, and he commanded huge warring angels around her. And he did that a couple of times, and she quit crying. She was, off she went. It was almost like everybody we touched got healed. It was so fun. Okay, then this lady comes up that's an evangelist. She drove from Kentucky. And she was numb on the right side of her, starting with her head all the way down to her knee, totally numb. Shoulder, fingers, she had some kind of a band on her shoulder that was really, really hurting her. Well, come to find out, I said, well, what man are you upset with? Right side of the body's male, left side's female. So she says, well, she goes through the story, but what it amounted to, she had a stalker. She'd changed her phone since 2012. She'd changed her phone 6 times, and this guy finds her. He's even run wires, telephone wires to where she lives, all kinds of stuff. He's just a crazy man. So I said, well, you know, you got to forgive this guy. And so, he took command over the spirits that were in the man and, you know, made him leave her alone. And as soon as we broke all the curses, command the spirits to leave her and everything, I said, well, how's it feel? What's happening? She said, I can feel my fingers. She said, oh, my shoulder, everything. All the numbness went right there. Yeah, so she was set free right there. Okay, then there was another little girl that came up, and she was 13 also, and she had a kind of a strange haircut, and she was wearing gothic-like clothes and very manly kind of clothes. And I just knew she was struggling. And so her deal was she didn't love herself, didn't know who she was. She had a back problem, so we prayed for her back, quits hurting. And the Lord tells me to tell her. I walk around him and get over to where she was beside Thurman as we're finished. And I said, the Lord told me to tell you that you're beautiful. You're so beautiful. And she just smiled at me. I said, has anyone ever told you you're beautiful? And she said, no. And I said, well, you are beautiful. You know, God created you, and Jesus loves you. And so she was all lit up, and she left. And so that was good. Then we had a 15-year-old boy. He was very tall, thin, come walking up. He says, the first thing he says is, I need the curse broke off of me. He said, I'm adopted. And so we talked to him, and a lady sitting back there that kind of looks after him in the afternoon, she said, well, he's also bipolar. So he told him he's redeemed from the curses. He explained all that to him, broke it all off of him. And he just, his whole countenance changed. And someone, when I'd been in the back, someone had handed me some money, and I stuck it in my pocket, and the Lord told me to give him the money. And so as he walked away, I followed him, and I took it out of my pocket and handed it to him, and I said, this is for you and you alone. This is a gift from Jesus. He said to give this to you. And he just was beaming. So it was just a really sweet thing. Then we had a lady come up that was, this was very interesting. She had an 8-year-old girl. She said all these people prophetically had said she needed to marry this man. All these people were coming. Oh, yes, that's who you're supposed to marry. Oh, yes, you're supposed to marry him. And so she's listening to all this and believing it, and she marries this man. Well, he just was a sex creature that was just going to bed with everybody. She finally divorces him and then starts losing her hair. All her hair starts coming out, and she can't figure out why her hair is coming out. And she goes and does some homeopathic testing. She didn't go to a doctor. She went to homeopathic, I guess that's a homeopathic doctor. And they found out that she had syphilis and gonorrhea. Yeah, from the husband. And so, of course, we start praying over her and breaking the curse and everything. And I had hold of her hand. I had hold of Thurman, and I had hold of her hand. And the Holy Spirit just went into action, and she's just, my arm is being shook off because she's shaking. And, you know, we were going through this thing. And then finally when we finished, she just kept shaking. And he said, are you doing that? I said, no, honey, I'm not doing that. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit's got all through. And so for a whole minute, she's just, you know, shaking my arm off. We just waited till she finished. And so I said, okay, well, the Lord's cleaning her up. So it was a praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Do you want me to read these now, since I'm still here? Read these? Do you want me to read these emails? Okay. All right. Well, you know, I came prepared. I knew I was going to have to talk today. Not really. There has been a lot of good stuff. Well, y'all know at night we do a lot of emails till all hours of the night. Okay, so we get these two letters. One is says, thank you so much for your ministry. I'm so grateful for Thurman's teaching. He says, dear Sharon, thank you so much for your telephone ministry to me about 2 weeks ago. My heel was hurt somehow and very painful. I also had a fall while mowing, and my chest was in deep and constant pain. Also, I was preparing to start teaching again at school and was really feeling the stress. Your encouragement about how to kick out the devil from my classroom each day was tremendously helpful. Your healing prayers were very effective. My heel started healing quickly from that moment and was pain-free and healed in less than a week. My chest took about a week and is completely free of pain. My first week of school was challenging but very good. Praise Jesus. Thanks with much gratefulness, Peter. So praise the Lord. That's a praise the Lord. Okay, now this is really wild. This is from Samuel Obate Adhiambo, okay? And he is titled, he's from Yala, Kenya. It's titled Samuel Obate Adhiambo's Healing Process. I am Samuel Obate Adhiambo, 53-year-old man, separated with four kids, three boys and one girl. I live with my dad at Yala Town in Siaya County in Kenya. I was in the military Kenya Defense Forces for 12 years and even went to Iraq under American SOC Company. I don't know what that was. I was turned back due to bio data by the Department of State of America in 2012. I've been farming since then and the chairperson of Obate Org Self-Help Group that helps widows, orphans, and the needy also keep cows, goats, sheep, chicken, goose, and duck. In mid-December 2015, I developed stomach problems that led to serious sickness, hemorrhoids, and Helicobacter pylon. Pylons is what I think that is, but anyway. I've been on treatment for 7 months and was due for, I think that's up in your, you know, like a colon type thing. I've been on treatment for 7 months and was due for operation in early August at a Nairobi hospital. My elder brother from America came to take me to hospital and had to finance the operation. His wife, who is a born-again Christian from America, sent me a CD and a player to listen to before, during, and after operation because she knew I love Jesus Christ. 2 days before the operation, I listened to the CD by Pastors Thurman Scribner, Jeff Coulter, and Dave Rosenfeld. It is finished, CD 1, 2, and 3. The cross was sufficient for me, CD 1, 2, and 3. Believe, 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 CD 1, 2, and 3. And 100% faith in God, 1, 2, and 3. I got healed that day I was being taken to Nairobi. I could go to the bathroom nicely without problems, no pain, no bleeding, and not much swelling. I told my brother that God had healed me. No need for operation. We had to go to Nakura City to prove it. I was healed. Thank God Almighty. Thanks for the Living Savior Ministries. I now know the truth about churches, sickness, and true faith. God bless. And then a witness on it is Patrick Odiamio, who his elder brother from the United States, with his phone number. Wow. Yeah. Praise God.
Okay, you have to come up, and I'll be doing you.
Jeff, while she's putting me on, why don't you come up and give your testimony? He's got a few himself.
I'm just going to be brief, but The meeting that we went to, a town of maybe 10 or 15,000 people outside of Lansing, Michigan, and Lansing is half a million plus people in the surrounding, what they call the MSA, the big area. And but the smaller town, this guy had the Lord speak to his heart that he was supposed to do a citywide revival for his city. And so he had come out of Catholicism and going to a Baptist church and very, very brand new Christian and just fired up and trying to get churches to join and couldn't get anybody to join. Sometimes we're funny, and we all, every church that you go to thinks that they've got the truth, and so since they've got it, they don't need to work with anybody else, and the work that we're doing is the most important. And so this guy, as a new Christian, had dealt with, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I end up talking to him, having a long conversation. It was great. But he's dealt with rejection all of his life, and one of the things that the enemy does with rejection is causes you to feel in new situations, well, these people are doing the same thing that I've had happen to me before in the past. I recognize this feeling when really sometimes it's just pushing on old wounds that he's still carrying. And so a lot of times people will reject first because they feel like they're being rejected. And so he's trying to get churches involved and trying to get churches involved, and finally he's just like, fine, forget it. Forget, you know, if you guys won't do what God's telling you to do and what God's telling us to do and reach in our town, if you don't care, and forget it. So he walks away. But even our mistakes, the Lord uses. And him walking away, they all didn't pick up on, you know, the rejection stuff and so on. You know, they just thought maybe this guy's being contentious. And but then the Lord began to stir their heart. This is from me. This needs to get done. And a bunch of churches end up joining together, and we joined a citywide, and also a bunch of pastors, different pastors from Lansing came to help put this meeting on. If it would have been driven by that one guy, it wouldn't have ended up being what it became. And the Lord used even his mistakes and his failures to cause a vacuum, and pastors stepped up, and then there's all kinds of people there. And I asked the one guy, kind of one of the one church that was helping maybe the most to spearhead things and set up the sound system, and their worship team was there. He said, how many of your people were here tonight? He said, maybe 10 or 12. And so there was a lot of people there that night. I don't know, I didn't count, but over 100 people there that night, and only 10 of them maybe were from his church. And so the Lord definitely brought together a citywide group of people, which is just fun to watch what the Lord's doing. So the Bible talks about how whenever we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And it's at different levels. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I don't know if it's significant, but I think it is, that he doesn't say my lambs hear my voice, but my sheep do. Sometimes lambs are off wandering, you know, and the shepherd has to go find the lambs. And we learn to hear the voice of the Lord. And it's every one of us are becoming more and more sensitive to the voice of the Lord, because that's what the Lord's doing in us. But up there, for every one of us, it was clear, just the Lord speaking very, very specific things. And I'd have people sit down in front of me, and I would just know all kinds of things, both of the details of their past and what was going on in them physically. Had a lady that was in sitting down, dragging herself around in a walker type thing, but having to, you know, pull her, whatever, shuffle herself around. And she had been molested growing up. And Luke chapter 4, Jesus' first message that he ever, it's recorded in the Bible, that he preaches in his hometown. He goes into the synagogue, they hand him the scroll or the book of Isaiah. Some of you guys know the story. He reads quotes from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He says, the Spirit of the Lord's on me to preach the truth, preach the gospel. Second thing, to heal the brokenhearted. The third thing, to set captives free. There are people who are in prison of no fault of their own. They were taken captive. When they were children, things happened to them. It wasn't their sin. And then the fourth thing he says is setting prisoners free. And this woman admitted, you know, yes, there's stuff that happened to me that I didn't have any control over, but now I know that I've not dealt with it right. And it's caused a tremendous amount of problems between my husband and I, and now she's got all kinds of physical stuff wrong with her, and dealing with depression and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I start to pray for her, and I start rebuking the enemy, and in a different voice, and I didn't tell you guys this, In a different voice, twice, she says, "Not coming out, not coming out." And I says, "Yes, you are." And this is why. Because you have no more legal right. I've remitted her sins, remitted the sins of her parents, her family line. Everything that was not only she has done, but that was done to her, that she's carried the lies of shame, guilt, and condemnation, that's been broken off. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Prayed for her again, she shook, and then you could see the countenance change on her face. She told me the next night a whole bunch of the pain had left. She was walking, pushing it the next night, so the Lord already beginning to set her free. But one after another, we just saw the Lord touching people, and it was fun. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love serving a God that's alive, don't you? Well, He is alive. I will have to say it. Dave, do you have any testimonies you want to give?
No.
Huh?
No.
No, he's okay? Okay. Dave had some good experiences too, I will have to say. But one of the experiences I had whenever the service was over that first night, there was a couple, they had one son and one daughter. They came up and they said, "Well, we heard you were going to be back in this area, and so said, we wanted to come hear you, because said 7 years ago we heard about you and how that the Word of God was doing wonderful things." So said, "We came and we had this son here," and said, "he had a great big black mole. Do you remember him?" And I says, "I do not." When you prayed for the number of people I prayed for, it's hard to remember who they are. In fact, I give up. I don't even try anymore. But she said, mother said, "He had a great big black mole right between his eyes, big as the end of your finger. Just big old black mole sticking out there." She said, "We brought him up. You cursed it. You commanded it to leave in the name of Jesus." And she said, just a few days later, that mole was gone. It's never come back for 7 years. Don't you love serving a Jesus that does things?
Yeah.
That answers prayer? I don't know what the deal is here. I think maybe we need to start asking him something, Tony. Don't you? He's waiting on us, isn't he? That's right. That's exactly what he's waiting on. You know, so I think about some of these stories that Cheryl talked about the people that had certain things. And I think about a little girl one day that walked into my office. This was back when I was still in the business world before I became a pastor. She walked into my office and she said, "Sir, I hear you talking about Jesus all the time." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, he's my favorite subject." And she said, "Well, I want to ask you a question." She said, "I've not been able to find anybody that could solve my problem." But she said, "I'm a Catholic." I said, "Okay, do you go to church?" She said, "Yes, I do, every Sunday." I said, "Okay, so what's the problem?" She said, "I have a man that calls me every afternoon when I get home and talks to me about things that I don't want to talk about." I said, "Like what things?" She said, "Sexual things." I said, "Okay." I said, "You don't know who this man is?" And she said, "No, I have no idea who he is." I said, "Some way he must have my telephone tapped." I said, what makes you think that?" She said, "Because he tells me when I go in the house, he tells me, he'll call me on my phone and tell me what I'm wearing." I said, "Ma'am, that could be real simple. He's watching you from another room, another house, or a car, and he just sees you walk in. And so then he calls you and say, 'Hey, you had a blue dress on today. You look beautiful,' or something." He said, "That's not what he does." I said, "What do you do?" He said, "I walk in and he tells me, 'You have pink underwear on with a blue flower on the right side on your panties.'" I said, "Okay, this is demonic." I said, "Are you involved any way in the occult?" She says, "No." I said, "Maybe you don't know what the occult is." I said, "But the thing about Satan and his host of demons, he cannot attack you and do things to you without legal right. You have to be living in a sin mode for him to have legal power over you." So I said, "You're doing something that's not according to God's word right." She said, "I have no idea what it is." I said, "Okay, let me just start asking you a few questions. Are you involved in the occult?" She said, "I don't know what that is." I said, "Have you ever played with a Ouija board?" "Yes, I have played with a Ouija board." "You ever played with tarot cards?" "Yes, I have." I said, "You know, there's your problem." I said, "Have you ever done any anointing oils with the occult, with this occult stuff that you use?" She said, "Oh, yeah. I buy these special oils and we have all kinds of fun doing this stuff." I said, "That's, young lady, that's how you're opening the door to the devil." I said, you've got to repent of that. And I have got to come to your house, and I've got to break every curse in your house. I'll anoint your windows and doors with oil, and I will drive out every demon of hell in your house, because they're there. She said, when can you do it? I said, when do you want it done? She said, tonight. I said, okay, let me call this Baptist friend of mine. I got a Baptist pastor that's a friend of mine. I said, I can't come to your house. As she was about 25 years old and had about a 4 or 5 year old son. And her husband and her couldn't get along, so he went one way and she went the other way. And so anyway, I told her, I said, I can't come to your house without another man there. I would never come into your house as a single woman by myself under no conditions. She said, well, that's okay. So I called him and he asked him if he could go with me that afternoon after work. And he said, sure, I'll go with you. So we met over at her house. She showed up. We go in. As we go in, she began to show me all these little tarot cards, Ouija boards, all kinds of occultic stuff. Some of it she got in the Catholic church. She got in the Catholic bookstore. But anyway, you don't want to have nothing to do with this stuff, you know. I mean, people don't realize how you open the door to the devil. You know, like Harry Potter. You know, I mean, Harry Potter, anybody in their right mind knows that they're teaching Harry Potter in schools. They're doing it, and it's totally giving a place to the devil, to our children. And you wonder why these school teachers are having havoc in their schools? I'm telling you what. I mean, any school teacher today that is a Christian, for sure. Now, non-Christians, you couldn't tell them this. They wouldn't believe it anyway. But if you take a school teacher that's a Christian, that school teacher, he or she needs to learn how to break the curse over her classroom every morning. When you go in, you need to break the curse, claim the redemption from the curse, and you need to stand up and quote scripture like Luke 10:19-20, and demand and command every spirit of hell to get out of your classroom and go to the abyss somewhere and leave you and all your children alone. When you learn how to do that, you can break the power of the devil, and he'll have to go away. But if you don't do it, those kids, it's unbelievable what's going on in the schoolhouses today and the kids that are on all kinds of occultic stuff and we don't even know what they are. And when you get a Christian mother and daddy that'll read Harry Potter or read it to their children, they have a major problem. And your kids are going to have problems. You don't even understand what it's doing. But you've got to get rid of that junk. I mean, God told us in His Word, we need to come out from among the evil ones and purify ourselves from all evil. Did He not?
Yeah.
Well, that's what He meant. He absolutely means that. So anyway, when I went with this friend of mine and we went in his house and she began to show us all the different things that she had, I just couldn't believe it. I saw everything she was doing. And so her fireplace, I said, is your fireplace a working fireplace? She said, yes, it is. I said, okay, good, because we're going to light a fire and I'm going to burn everything that's occultic. All these little cloth things she had, these tarot cards, her anointing oils, I said, we're going to burn everything and we're going to break the curse over this house. And I said, we're going to do it today. So she said, you mean to tell me there is a realm that causes things to happen that I can't see? Oh, y'all know that, do you? There is definitely a realm. The spiritual realm, either the good or the evil. And the evil can really mess you up. So anyway, we burned everything. Everything that she had that was occultic. We burned it in her fireplace. I walked through that house, took a bottle of anointing oil, and I put a little over the doors and the windows and everything. And I broke every curse in that place. I went and prayed over, I said, over your bed. I'm going to pray over your bed. I prayed, anointed it, and put a couple of drops of anointing oil. And I went to the windows and the doors and the bathroom, the lavatory, everywhere. And I commanded every evil spirit to leave her house and to go away and to never come back, ever. Quoting Luke 10:19-20, in the name of Jesus. We got through. She said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I said, this is going to make a dramatic difference in what's going to happen in this house from this day forward. So I didn't see her for 2 or 3 weeks. 2 or 3 weeks later, she came by and she says, Thurman, I am so glad that I met you and that you went over to my house that night. I said, well, what's happened? She said, I've not had a single phone call. Nobody has contacted me. Everything has just been great at my house. And she said, the one thing I want to really tell you that I didn't even tell you about. Now, some of you may be offended by what I'm going to say, but I hope not. She said, when I would go to bed at night, it's like I was having sex with a man, but he wasn't there, but I could feel him. She said, what was that? I said, you were having sex with a demon. You were having sex with a demon. A demon had legal right to you, and that's what was going on. I said, I even anointed your bed. I broke the curses over your bed. I commanded every evil spirit to leave that house and to never come back. And that woman says, well, whatever you did, it totally changed everything in my house. She said, I've had peace in my house. I've had no more phone calls. I've had no more feelings in my bed. Everything's normal the way it should be. She said, how did you learn all this? I said, spending a whole lot of time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and God of Gods. Is that the way you learn it? I think we're getting to the place today where that our, if you're a school teacher, you will know that we've lost it in the schoolhouse. Y'all agree with that? We have lost it in the schoolhouse, and until our teachers, Christian teachers, get a hold of the fact of the battle that's being raged every day in their classrooms, until those teachers take authority over those schoolhouses and their classrooms and speak out loud, commanding and demand, and reading Scripture. Now, you got to quote Scripture, but because the devil will adhere to the Word of God. So if you quote Scripture like Luke 10:19-20 or Mark 16:18, you command those devils to leave your classroom, to leave the children in your classroom. Because today I feel sorry for teachers that a few years ago there was 1 in 26,000 children born with autism. 1 in 26,000. Today it's 1 in 50. 1 in 50. The day is rapidly coming because of the drugs and all the stuff that we're teaching and what Hollywood's teaching and everything else, that if we don't take this world back over as Christians, it's going to get to the point where there's going to be no intelligent people in America. When it comes down to where we got 1 in 50, only 1 in 50 is not born with autism. But when we got all of these, we got a problem. And until we learn to pray, until we learn to break the curse, just like these children that we prayed for up there in Michigan. Those children and adults that have no idea that Jesus Christ came to set the captive free. Just like Jeff said, Jesus came to set you free. But you can go through life, your whole life, being bound up by the forces of darkness, being sick and afflicted because you didn't believe what had been done and completed on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus already did it. That's just like that week that we were, me and Dave and Dave's wife and kids and Cheryl, and we took the 421. We flew out to Silver City, New Mexico. That week we had an encounter with a little woman out there that had 2,823 demons in one woman. Yeah, one woman. And of course, whenever I asked her, had she repented of all of her sins, she said yes. And then when I commanded the spirits to come out of her, they would not come out. Just like Jeff said, those told him, we are not coming out. That's exactly what they told me that day. We're not coming out because we have legal right to be here. I said, I asked him a question. I said, well, what is your legal right? And he said, this woman joined the Rainbow Girls, and so that's how she has given us legal right to be here. And I said, well, now that I know that you got in because of the Rainbow Girls, I will just call her up and I'll have her confess that sin. And then she did this, only it was the demons in her, said, we are so interwoven in her brain, we will never allow her to confess that sin, so you will never be able to cast us out. I said, okay, if that's the case, then I will remit her sins. I said, it's written in John 20:23, that whosoever sins I forgive, they're forgiven. And she come across the table and screamed at me and said, almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but I know it and I believe it. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, I remit her sins of joining the Rainbow Girls. I said, now then, Satan, I take authority over your speech, and I command you, demons of hell, to come out of this woman and never enter her again in the name of Jesus. And these demons started flying all over the place. And here's a woman sitting here in a chair. And in a few minutes, we get so many terrible, she's using so many foul words in that restaurant we're in. I know at any minute they're going to send the police in to lock me up, think I'm doing something terrible. So I said, Father, you said I could ask for anything. I said, I need Cheryl down here, and I need her right now in the name of Jesus. And then my phone rings. Cheryl said, honey, where are you at? I said, I'm downstairs. Get down here right this second. She never asked a question. I mean, she was there at that table. And in the next few minutes, as we're talking to that woman, we saw that woman levitate across the floor, 10 or 12 feet across, 4 feet off the floor, just flying across, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. What a day. I mean, serving Jesus is fun.
Tell them what the Rainbow Girls are. Some people may not know.
The Rainbow Girls, if you don't know what that is, that is the women's offshoot organization of the Masonic Lodge. The Masonic Lodge is an organization that's controlled by the devil. The Masonic Handbook, and some people say, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I have studied this out in depth. I know I'm right. The Masonic Lodge is an organization that the Masonic Handbook says you will not be able to pray in the lodge in the name of Jesus. Now, anytime you see something that says you're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus, you know what you need to do with that organization? You need to get away from that sucker just as far as you can get away from it. You don't want to have nothing. You don't want your children. And just like Harry Potter, same kind of deal. You don't want your kids reading Harry Potter. You don't want them doing that. If you do, you're going to wind up with some messed up kids. And they're going to mess up. They literally teach those kids how to cast spells. You know that, don't you, Ms. Jackie? You were a school teacher, so you know this. You can't deal with that kind of stuff. You know, you've got to just take the authority that belongs to you and kick out these devils, and you can change lives. Just like that little girl. That little girl that was over here years ago that was having sex with something she didn't understand what she was doing. She had no idea what was doing that. But it was demons. You know, demons do devastating things to you. They're wild. They're crazy. And they create a problem. And most people don't have a clue. And we don't teach our children the power and authority we have. When we take a scripture like Luke 10, 19, and 20, I mean, I think we really ought to read that to our kids maybe once a week or something. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to trample on the servant Satan and his host of demons. All power is given to you over them. So how much is that?
All.
So how much is all?
All.
Is there anything left out of all? So if the king told me, give me all power over these evil spirits, and they shall in no wise hurt me, then guess what? I have got power over them, and they're not going to mess with me. So in the name of Jesus, I can drive these devils out. So, but you got to know it. It's just like breaking the curse. You know, I don't know how many times we did this. I don't even know up there in Michigan. But whenever I would take somebody come up there, like that one little girl, it was amazing that the whole center part of her head right here, over here, everything on her right side was numb. But yet when I recognized it, it's just a demonic spirit. That's all it is. It's a demon of hell that's had legal right because of sin. And all I got to do, if I got all power with that devil, how much power do I have, Michael? What does he have to do when I speak to him? If I speak in faith. Now, if I go to get wishy-washy, you know, like so many people, oh, God, I'm not too sure what you're going to, oh, you know, and just like I've said before, if I were to turn a mouse loose in this room, just if I were to reach in my pocket right now and get a mouse and throw him right out there, half of y'all would jump up on top of the seats. I'm serious. Half of you would jump up on the seat because of a mouse. But if I threw a great big old rat down here, probably two-thirds of you would jump up on the seat. Which one? Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
About the rat.
I couldn't.
It was that a man was going bankrupt.
Yeah, there was something like one of the bishop. He was a bishop, and he has anointed, I think, 3,500 or pastors or something like that. He told us a story about a rat that ran into the sanctuary, wherever it was, and the place was going bankrupt. And it was a big old building. and this rat ran through the thing, and everybody jumped up and run wild because this big old rat happened to run through. But it ran up a stairway and up a certain way. And somebody said, well, I'm going up there and get that rat. And they went up there, and when they did, they dug into where it went in a hole. And inside that place, they found $1 million. $1 million. God used a rat to direct it to them so they wouldn't have to lose the building. That story was told to us up there. Pretty awesome, huh? You think God's afraid of a rat? No, God's not afraid of nothing. He's not even afraid of a rattlesnake, you know. I mean, I'm a little more cautious around rattlesnakes than I am, but I'm not even afraid of a rattlesnake, you know. I mean, praise God. Because I realize that the scripture says, no deadly poison shall hurt me. If it says no deadly poison shall hurt me, why should I be afraid of something? I mean, so this mosquito, you know, they're always talking about, you know, the Zika or whatever it is, all the different mosquitoes and everything else. If you walk in faith and you're walking in obedience to God's word, no sickness and no disease can touch you. You don't have to be concerned about, you know, where you walk. You just got to walk in obedience to God's word. Now, you can't walk in sin if you haven't purified yourselves from all evil. And when he says pure, let me show you what I'm talking about. How many of you have seen those 5-gallon water jugs you get at the grocery store? That looks clean, clear, doesn't it? That's supposed to be run through an RO, a reverse osmosis system. And if it is, it's the cleanest water you can get. But let's just say that at the factory, somebody were to open up one of those jugs and take an eyedropper and put just one drop of pure strychnine into that water and then put the plug back in it. If you knew it had that strychnine in it, would you drink it?
No.
No, but it wouldn't hurt you, would it?
No.
No. One drop of pure strychnine in a 5-gallon jug of water could not hurt you, but when you drop it in there, it becomes invisible and you can't see it. It's in there. Now then, if you put enough of those drops in there, it'll finally get to the point where it will kill you. But if you are walking in faith and you're standing on the Word of God, where Mark 16, verse 18 says, and no deadly poison shall hurt those that believe. Are you a believing believer? If you're a believing believer, then you have no fear. So if anytime anything starts to happen, you have a name, the name of Jesus, that can deliver you from anything provided you're walking in obedience to His rules. If you're walking in obedience to His rules, you're not sinning, you're walking in grace, walking in faith, then you can take the name of Jesus and it will do great and awesome works. Will it not? Will it heal your body?
Yes.
Set you free, won't it? Isn't that amazing what we could do? I guess the only problem I have in life is unbelief. Do you have any unbelief? Sure you do. Don't tell me you don't have any unbelief. If we didn't have any unbelief of any kind, and we believe the word 100%, we could speak to whatever, and it would happen, wouldn't it, brother?
It would happen.
Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
Wow. Pray. Pray.
God's a mean God.
Huh?
God's a mean God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a guy up there. He's a little younger than me, but he's been listening to me for a while. And he's the one that came to Baltimore and listened to me. And he's the one that invited us to the meeting in Michigan. He's got a problem with his knees. And when I talked to him, I told him, I said, do you have any kind of a problem with a man anywhere? A son? Yes, I have a problem. My son and I don't get along real well. In fact, I forget how long it had been since he had talked to one, 4 years or 5 years or something. I told him, I said, until you get right with that boy, you're going to have that pain in your knees. God, how many of y'all remember God didn't ask you if you wanted to walk in love? What did he say? Paula, did he say, I command you to love one another? Do you make him mean that? Yes. So this is what this guy said. He said, Thurman, after listening to your teaching, I'm completely convinced that we serve a mean God. I said, well, how do you mean that? He said, this God means what he says and says what he means. Do you believe that, Gracie?
Yes,
he is a mean God, isn't he? And if you don't serve him, he can be the other way, too. He can hurt you. I was telling this couple back here a while ago a story. about a young girl. I mean, you know, the scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:13-14, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians 3:13-14. Is that the one David says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay, 16, yeah. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man or any woman defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Do you think God really wants you to purify your body according to that scripture? Does he want you to walk holy before him at all times? Yes, he does. And I was telling this couple earlier today, I said, there was a young girl, and some of you heard this story, and she was 15, and there was a young boy, and he was 20. And they moved in together with each other. And her daddy asked me to go talk to her, said, Thurman, she will not listen to me, but she respects you. I think as her Sunday school teacher, I think she'll listen to you. So I went over there and sat down with him and her, and I said, first of all, son, are you a Christian? He said, no. And I said, well, you need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I said, you won't like it when you die if you don't. I said, because you get to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And I said, and you won't like it, I can assure you. He don't believe that. He don't believe that God would ever do anything like that. And so I told the little girl, I said, well, if he don't want nothing to do with Jesus, I said, then you are a Christian. I saw you walk down the aisle to Baptist Church. She said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, the Lord says your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And she said, yes, I believe that. I said, he tells you you're not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I said, this boy has just said he's an unbeliever. You are not to be yoked with him. In other words, you're not to move in with this boy. I said, you know, your body is a temple. And I said, God, if you defile your temple, God will destroy your temple. She said, what does that mean? I said, it means he'll kill you. She said, sir, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. You know God would never hurt me. I said, honey, he'll kill you. I said, you need to move out. You need to move out. So she said, well, I don't believe that. You know, just because you and me don't believe something don't mean it's true. You know that? You know, we can believe a lot of things that's wrong, can't we? We can believe there is no God. But let me tell you, there is one. Whether you believe it or not, he's real, isn't he, Franz?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I guarantee he's real. He is real, and he's here in this service today. But anyway, she wouldn't move out, so we go through this scenario. Every time she has a baby, and she had three, her daddy would ask me to go over there and minister to her, and I'd go every time. She would never, ever, ever move out. And, of course, that last time, I told her, I said, honey, it's been 5 years now. This is the third time I've been here in 5 years. I said, the Word of God clearly says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I said, if you don't quit defiling your temple with this sexual immorality, with this unbeliever, I said, God is going to destroy your temple. I said, now, I don't know how much more time he's going to give you, but I'm going to make this just as clear as I can. Honey, if you don't quit, he's going to kill you. That's just a little more than most people can stomach. I made that statement at a church in Baltimore one time, and there was a pastor, and he just held his hand up. I didn't know he was a pastor. He held his hand up, and I said, yes, sir. He said, you mean you actually told somebody that God was going to kill them? I said, yes. He said, what happened? I said, I'm fixing to tell you. He said, before you tell me, I want you to know I'm a pastor, and there is no way I would ever make that statement you just made to anybody. I said, well, I'm not where you are. I live in a different place than where you live. I said, the Word of God said it. I believe it. Whether I believe it or not, that's already settled. If God said it, it's done. Is that right? So anyway, I said, I went over there that last time, and I told her, I said, I don't know how much more time God's going to give you, but we've been at this 5 years. Now, is that a merciful God? I mean, that's pretty patient, wouldn't you say? And I've told her and told her and told her. Three times I've told her, or as she's had three different babies, I told her this time, I'm going to make it real clear. If you don't move out, somewhere along the line, God is going to kill you. He's going to take your life. And because I said, you're living in sin. You're defiling his temple. And does the scripture say this is his temple? If we really are his child. And if we are, then he said, if we defile it, did he say he'll kill it? So if he said that, then I'm on safe ground, right? So anyway, I left and went away. And of course, that baby, about a month later, That girl, that baby, and that boy went to bed one night together, and the next morning, the boy woke up, the baby woke up, but the 21 or 22-year-old young girl had had a massive heart attack in the middle of the night, and she was stone cold hard dead. I mean dead. She'd been dead several hours whenever they found her. So I just think, I've been to the cemetery several times in Justin, and I look right over there. I can still see that little stone. I thought, there's where she's buried, right there, 21 or 22 years old. Did it have to be like that? No. All she had to do is marry the boy, but she wouldn't. He wouldn't marry her. So if they won't marry each other, and they're one of them's a Christian and one of them's not a Christian, and they're having sex together, which is obviously they were because they brought three kids into the world, they were unequally yoked. Were they not, Paula?
Yes.
Unequally yoked. And God told us not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, did he? So what do you think he meant there? Is he a mean God? Does he mean that? Yes, he does. He means what he says. And so anyway, I just stand in awe at the things God says in his word because he means what he says. And it's like today, we don't believe him. But I got a feeling that in the very near future, we're going to see so many things change because it's what we experienced in Michigan. The number of young people that came up. And when this little boy, it was only about this tall, when he comes up and he says, "Sir, I need to have the curses broken over me." He said, "I'm adopted." In other words, his mom and dad obviously didn't want him and throw him away. But somebody else adopted him, but he's still under the curse because of his parents' sin. And when he listened to me talk about that, the little bit that I talked about, he wants to be set free. Praise God. It's amazing that you got a little kid this big, 13, 14 years old, that's got to come up and say, and with oxygen on, "I'm 13 years old with oxygen, all kinds of things wrong with him." I mean, when you're 13 years old, you're not supposed to be walking around with everything messed up with oxygen dragging along behind you and all. You're supposed to be a young whippersnapper that can get out there and do something at 13, right? So what's the problem? We got a bunch of sick parents in America. And these sick kids are caused by sick people. That's why we got these kids sick, because their mothers and daddies are not putting God first. They're not doing what he said. But when a little boy like that hears the truth, he walks up there when it's time for prayer and says, "Sir, I want the curses broken over me. I want to be set free. I want to be made whole." And so that little boy's looking, but he didn't know where the answer was. But I had it. I told him. I showed him how to get it done. We broke the curse over him, kicked out the devil. It's really quite simple. All you got to do is do something that you've never done before. You break the curse over the person. They want to be set free. All they got to do is voice it. "I want to be free." Call on the name of Jesus. Joel 2:32. Anybody that wants to be delivered, all you got to do is call out the name Jesus. Is that right? Jesus, 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 Lord Jesus, I want to be set free. I don't want to be bound up with this no more. I want to be free in the name of Jesus. You call on Jesus' name, and then all you got to do is take authority, command that spirit to leave, kick him out, and pray the prayer of healing for that person. And then say, "Okay, God, it's your hands now. We've done everything you said in the word. Now then, they're yours." And that little boy, I mean, immediately, Cheryl told him, said, "Well, now, son, do you believe that?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Well, take a deep breath." So he took a deep breath. She said, "Take that oxygen off and take another deep breath." So he took that oxygen off. He took another deep breath. After he took two or three or four deep breaths, he said, "Wow, I can breathe great. I don't need this oxygen." Ain't that something? When you get to see God show up and do things like that, I love serving a God that shows up.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Wow, it's so much fun.
He showed up.
Do what, honey?
He showed up and showed out.
He always does that, yes. We love for God to show up and show out, I guarantee you. Praise the Lord. Now then, let's go to Luke 11:2. Luke 11:2. We are the temple of God. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. You know, people always talking about, you know, it's going to be nice one day when we get home. You know, he's telling us how to get it done where we can enjoy it right here, right now. He tells us to pray and ask him to put this place, make it like heaven on earth. Do you know that until I learned to pray scripture, I don't remember ever getting an answer to prayer? I prayed a little, not much. You know, if you don't see any results, why pray? And that's where I was as a young man, a young person. I knew my mother prayed. I knew my dad prayed. But I don't know whether they actually saw a lot of results, maybe a little. But I don't think they ever really learned how to pray in faith. I have no idea how. And in fact, I say that, and then my mother told me when I got back from Vietnam, she said, I've never seen Dad pray as much as he did while you were in Vietnam. He was so afraid he was going to lose you. So he said, Dad prayed a lot. Well, when I say I may not see any answers to Dad's prayer, I may be an answer to Dad's prayer. Probably very well is. And he prayed diligently for me because he did not want me to get killed over there in Vietnam. And let me tell you, he wasn't the only one. I didn't want to get killed over there in Vietnam either. Amen. I lost several friends in Vietnam. You know, I mean, it's terrible to think about some of these young boys that I went to school with, high school and all that stuff. But they lost their life in Vietnam. War is terrible. You know, people get killed and all kinds of things happen. I hate it. I hate it. I hate war. But it's going to be here. So next verse 3. Give us this day our daily bread. Wow. You know, those of us in this room, let me ask this question. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, how many of you have prayed that prayer for your daily bread and asked the Lord to give you daily bread? And just in the last 6 months, have you prayed that at all? Okay, have you really? You know, I don't think most of us pray like that because most of y'all, let me ask you this question. How many of you got at least a $5 bill in your pocket today? How many of you got at least $5 with you? Okay, so if you got $5 with you and you got it in your pocket, if I need some bread, what do I got to do? Reach back there and get my billfold, go down to the store down there and say, here, I need a little hot dog, you know, for a couple bucks to give me. I can get some to eat, can't ever, Franz? I'm blessed. So because I am so blessed and because you are so blessed, and because when I say some of you got $5 in your pocket, some of you may have a lot more than that. And some of you just didn't want to hold up your hand trying to be humble, I guess. But, you know, you have money. Most people in America has a little bit of money, do we not? In fact, I'm going to tell you that from the day I started tithing as a young man in the Air Force years and years and years ago, when I started tithing, the minute I started tithing, I have never been broke again in my life. I have never. I mean, and it seems like the more I give to God, the more he blesses me financially. I don't give to get, but I do give to be blessed. What the scripture says, does it not? Given it should be given unto you. Is that what it said? Yes. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom? For with the same measure you use to give, it shall be returned to you. So if you want to be blessed, you got to learn to give away stuff. Several times I've told Cheryl, well, I'm going to help this guy do this or that. And she said, I knew you would. She said, you don't have to. I said, I don't have to do nothing but die. But if I obey God and do what he says, then I have to help people do certain things. And I've helped a lot of people in my life. I love helping people, don't you? Yeah, I mean, praise the Lord. Yeah, James, he said, yeah, praise the Lord. I got there at his friend there a while ago. I told him, I said, yeah, James came by here one day and came to church over here and he was out of money and out of a place to park. He needed a place to park his RV and everything. So I told him, I said, how long you need to park? He said, well, maybe a month. I said, okay, pull it over to my place and park it. I said, that's been 4, 5, 6 months ago. Since then, I can't get rid of him. He comes over here all the time. He wants me to pay him to work, and he's a good worker. I said, so I got somebody that's a man of God. I said, I can't get rid of him because I don't want to get rid of him. I said, I love the boy. Isn't that amazing? Neither one of us had any idea that day that you come here that we were going to give you a job, we're going to put you to work, and how good a worker you're going to be. And I asked Dave after he'd been working a while, I said, how's James? He said, Thurman, just give James whatever you want him to do and then turn him loose. He'll get it done. I said, okay. Is that the kind of people I like working for me? See, that's just like the Lord. When the Lord says, whatever you do, work at Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with how much? All of your heart. Not as unto me, unto man, I mean, but unto me, work as you're working for me to God. And that's what James does. James works like he's working for God. You would think that man, everything he does is working for God. Because as he works for God, God continues to provide him a place to live, continues to provide him enough food and clothing to take care of those, his wonderful wife he's got and all them kids he's got. And them kids, them boys, they still like to eat, don't they, James? I was a young boy myself one time, and boy, I used to love to eat too. I still love to eat, I just don't eat as much as I used to. But give us this day our daily bread. You know, you know if we did that more often, if we pray for our food and things, it might be a blessing to somebody right beside you. I remember when I took Tim, when he was just 10 years old, we had to go to Oklahoma to a camp. In the school over in Highland Village, where Tim was going to school at the time, they wanted a father to go with every 10 boys. So they just didn't want them boys up there by themselves. So anyway, I thought, well, you don't have to ask me, because if my son's going, I'm going. You know, there ain't no way I'm going to turn him loose up there with all these kids and teachers and men and women and everything else, and up there in the wilds and the mountains of Oklahoma without me being there, I can tell you for sure. But so I'm going with him. And so I did. I went with Tim. And I remember we got there that first day. And, of course, I had 10 boys at my table. I don't know whether you boys are Christians or what, but I said, boys, before we eat, sit down, get your food. Before we eat, I'm going to pray over this food. And so I stood up and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this food these boys are about to take. In Jesus' name, amen. I said, now you boys can eat. I was the only table out of that whole place that did that. Nobody did that, but I did. The second day, the same thing. There was a lady come over and she says, do you pray after every meal? I said, well, ma'am, are you a Christian? She says, yes. I said, the Word of God tells me to pray over everything. Does it not? So I said, if God's Word says pray over everything, I think He means what He said. Pray over everything. And then another thing He said, too, after you pray, what are you supposed to do? Thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for this food. And so, you know, if you pray and you say, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, He will bless that. So now then, this is one of the prayers I've learned to pray, and I've noticed several other people's picking up on this, but I pray like this. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this food that we're about to partake in, this water, liquid tea, whatever it is, and I thank you for this, and I want you to put everything in it our bodies needs, and I want you to take everything out of it our bodies don't need. And if you pray like that, what can God do? He can make it good stuff. So in other words, the simple thing that I've learned about God, if I don't pray, God can't answer the prayer I don't pray. But if I pray, once I pray, when I ask God to do something by faith, He can do anything I ask Him for up to what I ask Him for. Now, He won't go beyond. He will not go beyond what you ask for. So is anything I've learned about God in prayer, He is not a shotgun blast God. You can't just say, oh, God, I have all these needs. Please fix them. You ain't going to get nothing. You ain't going to get nothing. You need to name them. You need to sit down with Him and say, Lord, I got this problem. First of all, I need money for food today, or I need money for house rent. In fact, I told one of those, maybe I told a couple of people in Michigan that were having troubles with God. I said, do you sit down and talk to God? No. I said, well, you know, I said, you ever read Jeremiah 33:3? No. You ever read Psalm 91:15? No. I said, well, both those say, call unto me and I will answer you. Is that right? Yeah. Call unto me and I will answer you. So I said, if you quote those scriptures, quote to God, Lord, thank you for Jeremiah 33:3, Psalm 91:15. I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to draw me up a chair here and I'm going to sit here on this side of the table. And Lord, I'm going to put you a chair right over there. And I'm going to sit here and look you right in the eye. And I'm going to say, Lord, according to your scripture, I need you to talk to me and tell me what you want me to do today. Now, Lord, I thank you and praise you for being the mighty loving God that wants to do what I, things to help me and show me what to do. But I'm asking for help. I need help, and I want you to show me in Jesus' name what to do. And then sat there. I said, have you ever done that? And they said, never. I said, if you'll sit there, if you'll do that, and then you'll sit there and you'll just look right into his eyes, I said, you will be amazed at the things that comes to your heart. I said, that's God talking. Is that right, James? That's the way he talks to us. And then they said, once in a while, if you really spend a lot of time with him, you might get really lucky and hear him just speak to you audibly. And that's wonderful, isn't it, Miss Jackie?
Yes,
you've heard God's voice audibly, hadn't you?
Sir, yes, I have.
Amen. And it's ain't nothing like it, is there? Don't you love hearing God's voice?
Yes,
ask and you shall receive. That's but you got to ask him exactly what you want. Give us this day our daily bread. And I don't think most of us ever do that because we got money. We live in a blessed country. And I don't think we praise God enough. I really don't think we do. I think we're so blessed we forgot what it's like to be in need. I don't know about you, but I have not had any needs. God has more than met all of my needs. I live in an abundance. Don't you? Technically speaking, don't you live in an abundance? Don't you have food in the refrigerator at home right now? You could go home and eat something. You know, I mean, not anybody in here going to go home and not have nothing to eat today, right? Nobody. Okay. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone. Wow. How many? Wow. That is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, if we don't pray that prayer very often, I would suggest that you do that more often. And then I would suggest that when you ask the Lord to forgive everyone that's indebted to us, forgive us. If you have any kind of bitterness or unforgiveness toward anyone, you need to get rid of that and get back in your love walk. Because if you got bitterness and unforgiveness toward anybody for anything, you're going to have trouble getting God to answer a prayer. Do you know that? And I want him to answer my prayer. Let's go to verse 5. Let's see what verse 5 says. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Now, wait a minute. You got to really be a friend. I mean, you come to my house at midnight. In fact, here, I'll tell you something. Here a while back, there was a pastor and his wife and daughter and her son. They were on the way through here from Houston or somewhere, going back up north. And they called us about, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the afternoon and said, we want to call and say hi and tell you that we're going to be passing close to your church, but we won't be there till about 3 o'clock in the morning. So we're going nonstop. So we just wanted to call and say hi. I told them, I said, boy, if you're going to be here at 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, come by, we'll take you out to breakfast. I said, you're my friend. I mean, you're really my friends. And so they said, what, at 3 o'clock in the morning? I said, yeah, me and Cheryl, we stay up late with emails and everything anyway. So I said, you know, if we know you're going to be here at 3 o'clock, I said, we'll be ready to go at 3 o'clock. So, man, we did. We stayed up at 3 o'clock. They pulled in out there. And, man, we went out there and all got in the car, and we headed on up to IHOP, and we went up there, and I bought them all breakfast. Paid for it and everything and told them how much I loved them. Had a good time about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. They're on the way going on, and me and Cheryl come back and go to bed. Then somebody wonders why I'm still in bed at 9 o'clock when you call me. But I am sometimes. Yeah, so when you stay up like Cheryl and I do with the emails and everything that we spend hours, and the results we're seeing God do, praying for people all over the world. Never did I ever dream that I would get to pray for people all over the world. But we're doing that right here from this little church, from our bedroom. You know, I just never dreamed that what God would do. But it's so much fun to pray for these people, the men and the women and the children, and then see the next day or sometimes within hours, they ride back, they already got the answer to their prayer. Wow. Is that amazing or is that amazing? But you know, God, I think he wants to do these things. He's just looking for somebody to do it. And that's us. You know, so like I say, if you had never sat down across a table with him before, draw up a chair this afternoon and and invite him into your table there and sit down and tell him some things and tell him you need some help in some areas, and then sit there and give him 10, 15, 20 minutes to answer you. And you'll be amazed at the things that comes to your heart. Just be amazed. Lend me three loaves, he said. Well, let's see what he said here in verse 6. For a friend of mine is in his country, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Next verse. And the friend within said, answer him and say, trouble me not. I mean, what's wrong with you, you dummy? Don't you know it's midnight? I mean, I'm already in bed, and the door is shut. My children are in bed with me. You know, we cannot get up and give you nothing. Wow. That's kind of the way most people would be, I guess. Verse 8, and I said to you, though he will not rise up and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise up and tell him to get as many as he needs. So what is God trying to tell you and me? You sit down at that chair and ask him for something, and you sit there for 10 minutes, and you don't hear a thing. Not a word. Nothing. You got no answer. Are you supposed to quit?
No.
You come back and you get on his doorstep and say, Lord, I didn't get my answer. Maybe you spoke and you probably did, but I got so many things running around in here I probably didn't hear. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me and I'm going to ask again. I want to hear you tell me what I need to do to get rid of my problem. Do you know that God has the answer to every situation you have? You don't need outside help. You got the best advice in the world right there across the table from you. And he'll talk to you, won't he? And I love hearing his voice. I love serving a God that talks to me, answers that. And what I really love is when he talks to me out loud. Miss Jackie, did it make any kind of difference in your life after the first time after Jesus talked to you audibly? All the difference. All of a sudden, he becomes a whole lot more personal, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
I know, because you've heard it, I've heard it. I love it when I hear the audible voice of God. I mean, it's just so amazing to get to talk to the King. But what is really amazing when you sit down across that table from him and tell him everything you're working on, what you'd like him to help you with. And that's just like the other day, the guy. Many of y'all heard me tell this story about the guy from Australia when he had this eczema all over his body. And he said, I saw you on the Sid Ross show. And he said, I heard you say that God will talk to us and tell us what causes our sickness. I said, yes, sir. He said, I've had this, and I'm 45 years old. I've had it since I was 7. Never had a doctor been able to tell me what it is. It's just incurable. He said, some of them call it eczema, but it's a rash that cannot be healed. I said, yes, sir, that's written in Deuteronomy 28:27. It sure is. But I said, if you will take Jeremiah 33:3 and quote that to the Lord, say, Lord, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto you and I will answer you. So I said, Lord, I'm going to quote that verse. Now I want you to answer me and I want you to tell me what caused this sickness to come upon me at 7 that I've had for all these years. I'm now 45 years old and I've been with this terrible pain and sickness all these years. What caused this in the name of Jesus? Now, Lord, thank you for the answer. He contacted us right back. He said, the very minute I asked God what caused it, he said, the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. He said, your daddy committed adultery with a woman next door when you were 7. That's what caused the sickness to come upon you. Isn't that something? How many daddies out there are there that's committing adultery with a woman next door? Way too many. And I'm talking about church Christian people. I'm not talking about people of the world. I'm just like Paul. If you start talking about people of the world, then hey, you got to just throw this thing out the window, because if they're outside of the church, I mean, they don't know nothing. I mean, they have sex with anybody, everybody, even a horse or a cow or a donkey. You know, I mean, this everything imaginable goes on out there in the world. But it ain't supposed to be like that with the church. But the church is living in too much sexual sin right now. I mean, too much. And we wonder why we get judged. Well, that's why. But anyway, he told the Lord, said, Lord, I am one of 3 children. There was only one of us that got this disease, and it was me. Why? He said, the Lord answered me back again, right quick. He said, because you were your daddy's favorite child. And because you were your daddy's favorite child, the sickness coming upon you would hurt your daddy worse than anybody. Well, that's why it came upon you. Isn't that amazing? But if you have a need from God, just like that scripture we just read, if you have a need, should you continue to ask until you get your answer?
Yes.
Yes, that's what he's trying to show you there. Don't just ask one time. And it's not that he's trying to wait on you. It may be you're having a problem hearing him. And some of us really have a problem hearing God. Do you know that? We sat down there and, now let me ask you this. I'm sure you've done this just like I have. I say, okay, today, Lord, I'm going to take 1 Corinthians with me. I'm going to put it in the CD player on my pickup. Put it in there, crank it up, turn it on. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, good. I listen down there, verse 2, verse 3, verse 10. Go on. And chapter 3, 4, 5. And now I remember, I'm really diligently hanging in there. And I'm on chapter 3 now. And I said, okay, now that we're at chapter 3, we're going to really pay attention. I'm going to listen for that story of chapter 3 about where the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm really going to pay attention, Lord. So I drive down the road a few miles, and all of a sudden it says chapter 10. I said, chapter 10? I was just in chapter 3. What happened to everything from 3 to 10? Have you ever done that? Isn't it amazing how your mind can be totally blocked out? All of a sudden you're thinking about everything you was waiting to hear. It came over. You know it did. But you didn't hear it. You were preoccupied. Your mind was running 90 miles an hour. And every time I do that, it just, Mike, have you ever done that?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that amazing? So at least I'm not the only one that does it. Here I am trying to hear God's voice, trying to pay attention. And then all of a sudden, I know what happens. I'm trying to pay attention about this, and all of a sudden that car I worked on last week, that I'm thinking, all of a sudden I start thinking about that car.
Every bolt.
And then all of a sudden I went from chapter 3 to chapter 10, and the only thing I remember is all them bolts and nuts on that car. You've done that too, huh? But that's the way it works. Your mind will get preoccupied with something else. And God's there saying, listen, my daughter, you asked me a question, here's the answer. But you didn't get it. Is that the way we are? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Persistence. Stay with it, right? Wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the things you've done in Michigan. But I thank you for all the things you're doing every day right here in Texas and in Dallas and this church and everywhere, Lord. You're such a mighty, awesome God. Thank you, Lord, that we can go out of town and come back and have testimonies. I mean, several wonderful, awesome testimonies. Now, you did things with Dave. You did things with Jeff. You did things with me and Cheryl. You did things with all of us, Lord. That proves beyond a shadow of a doubt it ain't us, it's you. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory, and we thank you for being our mighty God. Now then, as we go this week, continue to give us revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and talk to us. Give us that wisdom we need so we can hear from you. May your Holy Spirit touch our hearts so we can hear you and obey you and do what you say. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.